Okay, so I think we are good to start. Please welcome Damien Clochard. He will talk about PostgreSQL anonymizing privacy, battle of privacy. This is a very actual topic, so yes, welcome and thank you.
Thanks a lot. Do you hear me over there? That's good? All right, let's go. So my name is Damien Clochard. I'm one of the co-founders of Dalibo, which is a French Postgres company, basically. And I'm also an active member of the French Postgres community. If you've done some Postgres in France, you probably know me for that. So what brings me here? Why am I here before in front of you? Like 5 years, 7 years ago, actually. Someone asked me to anonymize a database, and I say, "Well, easy, quick. I'm gonna do it for next week." So I just taught a bunch of PLPG scripts to do it, and I just named it PostgreSQL Anonymizer because it was for the topic. And somehow I'm still there, 7 years later, still working on it. The funny thing is, I never actually anonymized the database, in fact. But I did a tool to anonymize further to do it. So this is my story. And I'm here to talk about data privacy and how you can protect that. So I'm gonna go a little bit on the definition of what privacy is before going to a more concrete example and the principles of data protection and how to do it with PostgreSQL Anonymizer, because that's the thing I did, but those principles could be used with other tools too. Okay? Okay, so the paradox of privacy. So yeah, basically, it's a strange concept, basically, privacy, because compared to other concepts like legal, private property is quite well defined. I think we all know that this computer is mine, but this is not mine. Okay? This is very clear. But privacy is not so clear, actually. So yeah, we could do a 45-minute essay about what is privacy. I'm pretty sure we would all write different things about what is private, what is intimate for you. And actually, it's different between people, it's different between eras, and also it's different between regions. Okay? Someone in Asia may think privacy means something else for him. All right. So, yeah. And basically, it's quite new. It's new in the history of humanity. It's a new thing. Because basically, 200 years ago, everybody slept in the same bedroom. All right? So there was no intimacy in the sense that we talk about it now. In the villages, everybody knew everything about everyone. If you had secrets, maybe the only way to talk about it was to go to the local priest. And even that, do you remember that thing? So that was, 40, 50 years ago. Try to explain that to a teenager now. Every house had this book, and in this book, there were the names and the phone numbers of everyone in the area. Okay? How stupid is that? I mean, I could give you a piece of paper now in this room and ask you for your phone numbers and your names. Would you give me your names and your phone numbers? Yeah, maybe someone, but probably not all. So you see, it's relatively new, it's evolving, and basically, this is just the beginning. As our life is getting more and more and more digitalized, in reverse, we want more and more privacy. It's never going to stop. I would say that the grandchildren of our grandchildren will look at us just like we look at those poor guys. They will find privacy like a basic human right, actually. Okay. So, but no, what everyone agrees with me about that, and then some guys, some people, like this one, Eric Schmidt, that would say something like, if you have something that you don't want anyone to know, maybe you shouldn't be doing it in the first place, right? Yeah, seems common sense now. Well, this guy is the CEO of Google, was a CEO, he's not a CEO at the time, but at this time, but he was. And this is the stupidest argument about privacy that you can ever bring in a discussion, right? We all have the right to privacy. It's not, you can publish anything you want, but you also have the right to hide things, all right? So, yeah, of course, big tech companies, they don't want this definition of privacy, because basically their business model is collecting and selling your data. So of course they want to redefine what the meaning of privacy is, right? And so this, there's a market for personal data that is blooming currently. So at this point, right now, in 25, the data broker industry is worth 2,000 billion, and that's just Hungary, okay? And you've got these four companies. Do you know any of these companies? Anyone here knows of one? Oh, yeah. Does some of you work for them? I can't. Just asking. Well, these guys, they know about you. You're probably in one or the five of them. You know, they sell your data on an everyday basis, and they make a lot of money. And you probably never gave your consent for that, right? And so, thing is that that's just the top five. There are about 200 of them, okay? And the top five are bigger than Red Hat on their own. So, yeah, in theory, legally, you can send a letter to each one of them and ask for them to remove your data. And probably they will do it. But then next month you will have to do it again. And you will have to do it for all the 200 company data brokers that exist. And you will have to look for new ones that will appear every day. So, of course, capitalism has a response for that. So you can hire companies that will write these letters for you, and it will only cost you $10 per month. So this is a great example of how capitalism will sell you the disease and then sell you the cure. All right, so the black market is rising because these guys, they need your data. It's hard to get, and it's cheaper on the black market, basically. All right. Of course, I have no way to prove that they're taking your data on the black market. They can sue me for saying that, but I'll take the risk. So, yeah, this market is absolutely not regulated, and GDPR does not change anything about that. And so, logically, the number of data breaches is just exploding, right? Last year, the number of notifications people received went up for 300%, all right? You know those notifications where you receive an email when they say, oh, we value your data privacy, and we may have lost some of our data, but yeah, keep stay with us, all right? We have received emails like this. So this is a battle, basically. People want more privacy, and tech companies want more data. All right. And so if you're a PostgreSQL data or any kind of DBA, actually, you're right in the middle of this right now. So you're a target for the for the data leaks, and you have the responsibility of the data you hold. All right, so we're going to war. We're going to try to apply. You got to have a method if you want to win this war. So we're going to check six basic principles for this battle. So first one is privacy by design, which basically means your masking policy should be written by the application developers. It's something you should do at the start of the project. You don't do that at the end of the project. Once the database is in production, it's too late. You need to think about it right now, right? When you add a column, when you add a new feature, just ask yourself, okay, what impact does it have on the privacy of our users? Right. Then you need role separation. You as a DBA, you're going to give access to a lot of people to the data. So don't just give them just one role. Just separate the role and give different rules to different roles. Attack surface reduction. I'm going to say ASR for now on, but this is a basic principle in security. It's not just for database. It's just the idea that you should reduce the places where your data is. Okay. Data minimization is basically the opposite of big data. Big data is completely dead. Big data is officially illegal. You should not collect data if you don't have a real usage for it. All right. Which means when I don't know, maybe in your formula, in your forms, you collect the birth date of your users. What do you use that for? Is it useful to have the birth date of every user you have? Probably not. Maybe. I don't. But you have to think about it. And you can't have this philosophy of, let's collect everything and maybe later in 2 years or 3 years we will find something useful to do with this. It's not possible. Risk evaluation, like I said, the concept itself of privacy is always evolving. The technologies are evolving. You have new kinds of attacks, new ways to find it. So you need to be constantly reevaluate your policy. And last one is privacy by default, which is pretty simple. If you don't know if a column contains private data, you should treat it like if it contains private data, okay? If you don't know, you know. Okay, so again, six principles. I'm going to show you how you can implement them with PostgreSQL Anonymizer. But again, you could do that with any other tool. So what is this? This is an open source Postgres extension. And it's been production for the last 5 years, I guess. It's written in Rust and PGSQL. I did a talk yesterday about Rust and a Rust extension in Postgres. It should be on the FOSDEM website in a few hours, I guess. You can install it through RPM, Debian, Docker, Ansible, whatever. It's also available on most cloud platforms such as Google Cloud, Azure, Crunchy, Neon, etc. And we do have a lot of external contributors, so DGFIP for the non-French people, it's the Ministry of Finance, and ANR is the National Research French Research Agency. Well, they gave us money to develop this technology. So what is it? It's a masking engine. So you have different ways to mask your data. You can do static masking, dynamic, dumps, etc. I'm just going to talk about the three first one. Because that's enough for you to understand. But there's a lot of ways to mask data, actually. And it's also a masking toolbox. So it's at the same time is what you want to mask, and how you want to mask the data. And there's a lot of different ways to mask the data depending on what you want to do. You've got pseudonymization, you have noise, you have fake data, you have partial destruction, generalization. You can also manipulate images. So again, I'm not going to go into each one of them, but you get the idea. Okay, let's go. So I have installed the extension. It's a binary extension. I need to load it to my database. So the best way to do it would be to use session preload library. All right, pretty fairly simple. And then connect to the database again and just create the extension. And that's it. Let's go. Let's go and let's implement privacy by design. So again, privacy by design is a declarative approach of anonymization, all right? We are going to write our masking rules inside the database model, all right? And but how can we do that, you know? How can we add metadata inside the tables and inside the database model? Well, there is this thing called security label that probably most of you don't know. It's a feature of PostgreSQL, actually. It's SQL. And you can, with this, you can attach label metadata on objects in your database. All right. So let's get an example. So I've got a table people, and they have an ID, a first name, a last name, and a phone number. All right. Let's go. So what I want to do is have in my database model this line that is just going to say how this colon, so in this case the colon is last name, and this is how I'm going to replace it to the mask user. So I'm going to replace it, I'm going to mask it with the function dummy last name, and function dummy last name will generate a last name, any kind of last name. But, so, okay. So this is just like putting a constraint on your colon. Okay, you would say that last name, for example, is not null, or maybe there's some kind of check on this. And it's quite the same thing, actually. You're just saying, on this colon, this is how I'm going to transform this colon when I need to. So you can also destroy the data. In here, I'm replacing the data with a function, but I can also just replace it with a value, with a static value. And so if you got just one thing to keep from this talk, is that destruction is the best anonymization. We cannot store you something you have destroyed. So again, with data minimization, we'll talk about it later. But yeah, if you want to be sure that some data will not leak, just replace it with a static value. But a third example is, for example, we want the phone to be partially destroyed. So we're going to just destroy the digits in the middle of the phone number, and it will then. I'm going to apply those three rules on the table people. And here I am. So the table has been statically masked. It's now, it's done forever. And as you see, the ID has disappeared, it's null. The first name is the same. I didn't mask it.